2 Timothy 1:7. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And it reads as follows. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. I'm going to read it again. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. And King James calls it fear. So timidity and fear is the same thing. And I will be transposing from timidity to fear throughout the series. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. Hallelujah. So the first part one, we talked about the spirit of fear and how that was a mindset of being fearful and not knowing the love of God and how fear brings torment. And we talked about, we ended that up with how not to walk in the spirit of fear, how not to allow that to cloak our lives. And the number one way for that not to happen is to know the love of God. And we know that by spending time with him and in his word with his people, which is what we're all doing today. Amen. Praise God. So again, glad to see you. And then part two, we talked about God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power. Wow. Amen. That was powerful. We have it on the podcast. If you weren't here, you might want to hear that message. Amen. And how the Lord gives us, and all of this works by his Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So he's given us a spirit of power. So we have the mindset, and we talked about the spirit of, and spirit of meaning our mindset, a disposition of the mind. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay? So, and how that by his spirit, we have the power. Even have the power to obey him. Have the power to do his will. Hallelujah. So whatever we need power for, we've got that from the Lord, and power being strength. Mm-hmm. So our mindset is, okay, yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We unpacked it. So it's quite a bit. It's more than what I'm telling you now, but I just kind of want to bring it up to speed. And today, we will be speaking on God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of love.
Amen.
Now, you already know that the Bible, the whole Bible, is love. So I'm going to trust the Lord. I've trusted the Lord to lead me to what he wanted to bring forth. This morning, let me tell you, it was hard. It was hard to pick it out, but I believe I have what the Lord wants to expound on today concerning the spirit of love.
Amen.
And the first thing I want to speak on is what is love? What is love in the spirit of love?
Yeah.
And we'll be teaching from the biblical definitions. Definition of love. Now we know that Webster can tell us it's an emotion, it's a feeling, and you know, it's being nice, those type of things. But in the Word of God, the spirit of love, particularly in this scripture, in this passage, in 2 Timothy 1:7, love means agape. Agape is how it's pronounced. Most people pronounce it agape. Agape, which is a Greek word, and it means to have affection, to have goodwill, benevolence, and brotherly love. So it's kind of the same thing, but to have goodwill and benevolence toward one another.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
What is the spirit of love? Now, I like this. The spirit of love is having the mental disposition of this love,
all right,
of agape, meaning that it's how we have set our minds. Amen?
Amen?
So it's not set on fear. It's set on love. It's not set on hate. It's set on love.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself here. Yeah. And as we spoke of concerning the spirit of power. Where does the spirit of love come from? Well, we know it comes from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The spirit of Christ, which is inside of each and every believer that has accepted him as Lord and Savior. When we did that, his spirit resides inside of us.
That's
right. So, in essence, we have the spirit of love, but we have to allow the spirit of love to come forth in our mind, in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not disappoint." That's Romans 5:5. I see some people with pens. That's good. Their Bibles and pens and paper. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through how? The Holy Spirit who was given to us."
Amen.
So this is how, this is where the Holy Spirit comes from. Excuse me, the spirit of love comes from this mindset, mind you, this disposition of mind of love. We know that from Galatians 5:22, that love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, meaning that it's the evidence that the Holy Spirit is working inside of the believer.
Amen.
In our lives. It's the evidence, the love that we show. Wow.
Amen.
So it's not necessarily the works so much, but it's the love that we show.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what are, and I really want to get to this, and I know everybody's thinking, are we going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Yes. Yes, we are. We can't talk about love without unpacking.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Mm-hmm. 8-8. So let us turn there. And we want to go through these attributes. It's very important, because these attributes let us know where it can help us to gauge where we are concerning love.
Amen.
Do we really love God? Do we really love ourselves? Now, most of you know these right these attributes, the Lord doesn't fail in any of them. So this is mostly about our love for one another.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4. We're going to start with 4. And it says that love is patient. Love is kind. Everybody there? Excuse
Amen.
Me. Okay. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. So love is patient. Love allows people time to get it right, so to speak. Yeah, it allows people to grow. It allows ourselves to grow. We need to love ourselves. You know, love ourselves to grow. Love is kind. It's nice to be nice. I hear apostles say that a lot. You know, it's just nice to be nice. He says his mother always taught him. You know, baby, it's just nice to be nice. Did I do that right? All right, praise God.
Amen.
It's just nice, to be kind, to be benevolent.
That's right.
I can say that word, to be benevolent. And it's not jealous. Love doesn't see what another person has
Amen.
Or who they are mm-hmm. and is jealous over and want what they have and want to be who they are. That is not love.
Right.
But love celebrates that person
and
what they have.
Amen.
We rejoice with those who rejoice. And we mourn with those who mourn is what the scripture tells us.
Amen.
So when we see someone else making it, we're excited about it.
Amen.
We bless the Lord for that.
Amen.
Amen. That's
Amen.
Love. Love is simple.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you why. Because Holy Spirit inside of us. You have some people that are void of Holy Spirit and they can't love. We look at people sometimes, we're like, well, how come they didn't? Why aren't they excited? What? Okay, now we know.
Amen.
In a lot of cases, they are either don't have Holy Spirit or they're not allowing him to work in them.
Amen.
People can stop Holy Spirit from working in them if they want to.
Amen.
Love does not brag. We don't flaunt who we are and what we have.
All right.
Amen.
That's not love. People do it, but it's not love according to the word of God. So we're not going to give you our opinion. Our opinion is worthless, but the word of God is what? Priceless.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. They won't brag. Now I'm going to say this, though. There's nothing wrong with bragging about Jesus.
Amen.
We boast in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But not in ourselves. Hallelujah. And it's not arrogant. Love is not thinking more highly of oneself than they ought to.
Amen.
It's a dangerous thing anyway, because pride comes before what? Destruction.
Amen.
Comes before a fall. So we don't want that anyway.
Amen.
And then 1 Corinthians 3:5, it says, love does not act unbecomingly. That's being unmannerly, inappropriately rude. And like apostles say, love doesn't act a fool. Love doesn't act a fool.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, love wants to act proper. Doesn't want to try to shame someone. Want to try to put people on Front Street.
Amen.
I'm going, all right. All right, and doesn't seek its own. Love prefers others over themselves. Okay?
Amen.
Love is not selfish. Love wants the other person to have.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. And love is not easily provoked. That goes hand in hand with patience a lot of times. Right? So love does not easily get offended.
Yeah.
Amen.
Love prays. Because sometimes people need to be prayed for.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
I said sometimes people need to be prayed for.
Amen.
But love doesn't allow what they're doing to cause them to be offended.
Amen.
Yes, offenses come, but we don't stay there.
Amen.
Amen. Love is not easily offended. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And love does not take into account a wrong. They don't keep an account. Well, you know what? I remember you did this, you did that.
Amen.
You know, every time they see the person. Yeah, because I remember back when the person had already repented, already apologized. Mm-hmm. Now,
amen.
I remember when. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't keep. Now, if it's something that needs to be worked out, love works this out. Love walks it out, talks about it. That type of thing. We're not saying sweep it under the rug like it never happened. You got to take care of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Praise God.
Praise God. You got to take care of it. But once that's done, it's done.
Amen.
See, love calls us to act like God, where he remembers our sins no more. Did you know that's part of salvation?
Amen.
Amen.
That God puts our sins in the sea of forgiveness.
Amen.
He remembers our sins no more. He's not the one bringing it up.
Amen.
Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's not love. Somebody say, God has given me the spirit of love.
Spirit
of love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth.
Amen.
We don't rejoice in a lie that we may hear about a person. We want to hear the truth, and we rejoice in the truth.
Amen.
We hear a rumor. We don't repeat the rumor.
Amen.
Again, I'm going to say some people need us to pray for them.
Amen.
And that's the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. We rejoice in the truth. Love bears all things. Love bears, it means to conceal. It means to protect.
Amen.
All right. Love protects a relationship. And I'm not saying it doesn't take care of things in it, but love bears all things.
Amen.
Love believes all things. Love does not discredit one another. We believe, someone, a brother or sister, or a husband or a wife, or a brother or sister, tells another brother or sister something, you know, they don't just automatically discredit them.
Amen.
Love believes all things, but remember, we believe the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Hopes all things. There it is again. We want to see people do well.
Amen.
You ever been around a person that wants to see people do well? Amen. Hopefully, you see that in us.
Amen.
We want to see everybody do well.
Amen.
In the things of God.
Amen.
In their God-given gifts and talents.
Amen.
In the benefits that the Lord has given them.
Amen.
Through salvation. We want to see people walk in power in the things of God.
Amen.
To be delivered from whatever the enemy may try to bind them with.
Amen.
We want to see
Amen.
Good. We hope all things.
Amen.
Endures all things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have the strength. Yeah, go ahead. We endure. Hallelujah. We endure all
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Patience, thank you. Hallelujah. And love never fails.
Amen.
It works every time.
Amen. Praise God.
You have people, it looks like they may try to trample over a person's love, but I'm going to tell you right now, the power of love, the spirit of love never fails.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
It won't go away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise Amen. God. So I wanted to go over the attributes of love because it's going to be important as we go forward because we're going to line everything up by those attributes.
Amen.
That's how we know that we love, and that's how we know that we are loved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. What does the effect of the spirit of love look like? How does that look? I'm going to say this to the Riley family. I see love.
Amen. Praise God.
I see love. I look at the two brothers and the sister and how they get along. You don't hardly have to say anything, but I can tell you encourage one another.
Amen.
You don't want to see the other do bad. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we know where you got it from.
Amen.
Your mother. We can tell. Love can be seen.
Amen.
The spirit of love can be. I see the effects of the spirit of love in this family.
Amen.
I just wanted to say that. I was sitting back while you all were doing the worshiping. In the midst of it all, the whole family sang. I saw Mama over there singing too. Praise God. Thank God for that. We bless the Lord for that. You are ministering to other people, whether you know it or not,
Amen.
By the lives that you live. Hallelujah. So what are the effects? And we talked about it earlier that, you know, a spirit is like the wind. You can't actually see actual wind, but you see the effects of the wind. Right?
That's right.
All right.
Amen.
So the first account we want to look at, we want to see it in the Word of God. Let's go to the Old Testament, and we're going to go. I'm kind of switching up a little bit. I told you I said, Lord, have your way. So he's changing this up.
Amen.
Let's go to Genesis, and we're going to start at 45 and 1. Okay? Let's go to Genesis, 45 and 1. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about this story. We're most of us are familiar with it. Y'all pray for Pastor Giles.
Amen. Amen.
I want to tell this because I got a lot on my paper, but I know I can't read all of this. Praise God. So this is about
Amen.
Joseph and his brothers. And we know what happened further back in the book of Genesis where he had a dream, right? And he had a dream that his family was bowing down to him, of course, because there was a famine, and they were bowing down to him. And he shared that dream, and they wasn't having any of it. Now, the father pondered it in his heart, but the brothers wasn't having it. And if we can recall, he was considered, quote, the favorite. favorite son. He had a coat of many colors from his father. His father loved him dearly. And we know as time went past, the brothers was jealous of him. That is what? Not love?
That's right.
They didn't, okay? Amen. No love there. Mm-hmm. And they threw him in the pit to die. Then one of them had a bright idea when they saw an entourage come going to Egypt, and they sold their brother into slavery, right? And in time, and told the father that he was dead, that a wild animal, they made up all kinds of stuff, put blood on his coat of many colors, the very thing. Isn't that interesting? The very thing, you know, that represented favor that they know their father gave to David. Here, take this, your favorite son, to Joseph, your favorite son is dead, his blood.
Wow.
I mean, it goes that deep. You know, it goes that deep. They hated so much that they wanted this brother dead. Okay, so now the father then went through his weeping because his son is dead. Okay, so let's go forward. David spent his time, Joseph spent his time in prison and so forth. And we come to chapter 45, where he ends up being in charge. He was second to Pharaoh, and he had great favor with Pharaoh. Now, the brothers had come. It was a famine where they were. They were in Canaan. And it was a famine everywhere, but not there, where he was, and the brothers came to buy food. And he recognized his brothers, and they went on and on, and we know the story where eventually he wanted to reveal himself. He was nice to them, gave them feed, kept putting the money back in their bag, and he wanted them to bring the little brother, his little brother, from the same mother, Benjamin. He wanted to see Benjamin. So it all came about. And we're going to start in 45 at verse 1. It all came to, after a while, he couldn't contain who he was. He couldn't continue to conceal that he was actually Joseph and that he was alive. Amen. Verse 45 and 1, we're going to start there. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. And here it is. Here it is. After all that Joseph went through a lot because of what they did, because of their hate for him. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. This is the spirit of love. Because as far as they were concerned, they should have been dead men. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Hallelujah. "For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance." So here Joseph is, his brothers that had done all this to him. Here he is showing, here he is walking in the spirit of love.
Amen.
Walking in the spirit of love, he is forgiving. Well, yes, remember I told you that to walk in forgiveness doesn't mean that it's swept up under the carpet. He He had to let them know they had to deal with what had happened. Right?
Amen.
Let's keep reading. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry up and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made the Lord, me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. And listen to this. And you shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. This looks like to me that Joseph is thinking of others before himself.
Amen.
He had every right. He had every right to chop them up. He had the authority. He had the power. He had everything. He could have threw them in ditches of their own. Each one had their own ditch, just like they threw him. And put some animals in there because he was ruler over everything. He didn't have to wait on nothing. He could have had his servants go get the animals, throw them in there, and just eat them up. Because that's what they did to him. But he didn't. He had the love of God working Amen. In his heart.
Amen.
He recognized, hey, this was the plan of God. He used this. He worked this together for my good. Amen. He knew that I had to be here because I had a dream, first of all. Sometimes when we have dreams, we may think that it's supposed to happen one way. Mm-hmm. You see, the Lord, a lot of times the Lord is not showing us what's happening on the way
Amen.
To the fulfillment of that dream.
Amen.
So here it is. All this stuff happened on the way. The scripture doesn't really tell us that God, did every step. We don't know. We know what Joseph is telling us that he can see now that God did, he allowed him to go through this so that he can be where he was
Amen.
To do what he was doing
Amen.
For his family.
Praise God.
So here he is not thinking of himself, because I'm telling you, he could. He had the means. He had the power. To think of himself and keep going with his life. But he thought of his family.
Amen.
Because he had the power to help his family. And he did it.
Amen.
This is the spirit of love.
Amen.
Somebody say, God has given me the spirit of love.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I think that's all I'm going to read about that. Then we're going to go to the New Testament.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'd like to see the Word of God, sola scriptura.
Amen.
Let it interpret itself.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, we know, first of all, as we go to the New Testament, we know, and we know that Jesus Christ is the ultimate example.
Amen. Praise God.
We know that Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of the spirit of love, because
Amen.
He is love, because He is God. Hallelujah. He was beaten, crucified, and He suffered for our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that the Word of God says that He made Him who knew no sin, sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He knew no sin, but yet He was the one beaten. He was the one crucified, lied on, spit on. We know the story.
Yeah.
Everything that we know good and well, we wouldn't want to tolerate.
Yeah.
We come up swinging. We would have called the angels. We would have sent the legions of angels on the people. Hallelujah. Those that were offending the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, every weight of sin, and the sins which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we do this fixing our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Because he is the author and perfecter of faith. Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say, son, the Lord has given me the spirit of love, because he is love.
Amen.
Because he is love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There was one other example, and that is the prodigal son and his father. My God, the spirit of love.
Amen.
And that is in, you can find that in Luke 15. I think this is a shorter one for me to tell. This was a son. This father had two sons, and one of his sons said, hey, Dad, just give me all of my inheritance now. I want to take it and go be about my, I want to live my life, pretty much. And that's what he did. Father gave it to him, and he went and he spent it on harlots and the big life and ran out of money, and no one was there to give him anything. No, all of a sudden, where was his friends? Nobody was around because he was out of money. And he found himself, the only place he could find, he found himself in a hog pen, swine, which is bad. And he found himself wanting to eat what the swine was eating. Then he came to himself, wait a minute. Wow. The servants in my father's house got better than this. The servants. And he's a son. I would go to my father and tell him, look, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Make me one of your servants. He wasn't even asking for sonship anymore, because the servants was living. He saw, hey, I made the wrong decision here. This is not good. This is not what I want. This is not who I am. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to Luke 15 and 15. That's where we're going to start. Actually 15 and 20. Okay? All right. So he got up. He got up. We know some people that need to get up.
Amen.
Come to themselves. Come to their senses and get up and come back to God.
Praise God.
Somebody listening to the sound of my voice, because you know we're preaching to over 160 nations.
Amen.
Get up.
Amen.
And come back to the Father.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. He felt love for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Hallelujah. And the son said to him, listen to this, there was repentance here. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And let's stop right there. That looks like he is not taking an account of a sin. He's not going to hold it against him.
Right.
He came, he repented. He's the father, as a matter of fact, as the father saw him coming, he know that's the only way he could have come.
Amen.
With a repentant heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his best robe. He got a best robe and put it on him and a ring on his hand. He reinstated his sonship.
Amen.
The ring stands for authority.
Amen.
And sandals on his feet. More than a servant. More than a servant. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. We're going to have a party. And this is the reason why. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come to life again, and he was lost and has been found.
Amen.
And they began to celebrate. Hallelujah. They began to celebrate. He celebrated. That's the spirit of love, to celebrate. This is something good that has happened
Amen.
To his son. He has
Amen.
Repented. He has come back home.
Amen.
He has come from death to life.
Amen.
And that's how we were before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
We were walking around dead in our spirits, dead in trespasses, in our sins.
That's right.
But when we came home, the celebration started. Hallelujah. Heaven rejoiced.
Amen.
And God did not hold our sin against us.
Amen.
And that's what we see happen. We know this is a picture of God and one that would come back to him and the prodigal son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they began to celebrate. Now look at this. We're going to see the opposite here. Now his older son was in the field, and this is Luke 15:25. His older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and the dancing. Well, guess what he didn't do? He didn't rejoice. He didn't rejoice with another. He didn't celebrate another. Let's keep reading. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, the servant said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But the brother, let's see what the brother did. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. He was not willing to go in. He was not willing to celebrate another. He was not willing to walk in love. Wow. It looks like to me he was behaving rudely. He was acting a fool, like Apostle Giles say. He was provoked. He was offended. Right? He said, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattest cow because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you. He's thinking about himself. He said, I've been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours. Now that sounds like he's boasting in himself. We talked about this, right? Yeah. Hope does not boast.
Yeah.
He said, I've never neglected a commandment of yours, and you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends.
Mm.
Wow. So we see what not to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But when this son of yours, and listen to this, who has devoured your wealth, he's bringing up his past. He's bringing up a sin. He's keeping account. He said, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes? Not just devoured your wealth. He did it with prostitutes. Now, this is worse. You killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live.
Wow.
Here the greatest moment of his life, of his brother's life. He's not lost. Amen. He's found.
Amen.
He's not dead.
Amen.
He's alive. He didn't go out there and die with the prostitutes and the pigs.
Amen.
They hadn't heard anything from him. They didn't have cell phones. He couldn't call and say he's all right. For as they were concerned, that brother was dead. Just like Joseph in the other story, he was dead to the family. But he said, look, he's no longer dead. He's alive. He's come to his senses.
Amen.
And he's now a son again.
Amen.
He said, we had to celebrate it.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
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 Somebody say, God has given me this spirit of love.
Spirit of love.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, what does the spirit of love benefit? How does it benefit the believer? And I'm coming. First of all, the scripture tells us that the world knows that Jesus, that God has sent Jesus by the love that we show one another.
Amen.
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 God, as the saints show love one to another, the scripture tells us that love is the perfect bond of unity.
Amen.
People talk about coming together, you know, they talk about unity. There's only one true unity.
Amen.
And that comes together in the spirit of love in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit. Love covers a multitude of sins. It hinders the knowledge of a thing. Remember, God remembers our sin no more.
Amen.
So neither should we for ourselves.
Amen.
And for others.
Amen.
Yes, yes. 1 Peter 4 and 8 says, above all, keep fervent, keep it hot, keep it strong in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's the scripture for that. Hallelujah. Love is made perfect in us. You know, with the spirit of love, we can love because of the spirit of love. It's made perfect in us. 1 John 4:16 says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love.
Amen.
And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us. We're talking about the spirit of love. We can't walk in the spirit of love if we don't have Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that we don't allow him to work in our lives. He said, by this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. God is love. We are love in this world.
Amen.
Because we are as God is. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love. We talked about that in part one. If we walk in the spirit of love, we don't have fear. We don't live in fear. We don't live in torment.
Amen.
It punishes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. How does the believer receive and operate in the spirit of love? First, we talked about that we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We receive the Holy Spirit, who is love. He is the spirit of love.
Mm-hmm.
We love God. We practice loving God. How do we do this? How do we love God? John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Amen.
If you love me, remember we talked about love not being merely an emotion.
Right.
You can feel it, you know, have feelings of love. You can. But that's not the gauge.
Amen.
The gauge to loving God is that we keep his commandments. We hold him in regard and we do them. First, we value them.
Amen.
All through Psalms 119, David talks about the word. Oh, I encourage you to read it if you've never read it before. Read it afresh.
Amen.
He talks about the word of God and how he loves God's commandments and his precepts.
Amen.
So he keeps them. He holds them in high regard. Now, we know that the society today doesn't hold God's word in high regard. The United States used to. You remember the blue law? When things was closed on Sunday because people were worshiping Jesus Christ? Now everything open all day? You know, there was a regard for the word of God. Even in our courts today. You know, when they get ready to hold a court session, they have the Holy Bible there. Because the word of God was held in regard. But slowly it started coming, the standard started. And now, where are we? The word of God is not in high regard, not in this country, not throughout the world. But there are remnants. There are the people of God that will stand and hold God. We will keep his commandments. Amen. We will hold it in high regard.
Praise Jesus.
Yes. Amen. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. Mark 12:30. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
Amen.
That's Mark 12:30. Let me slow down. Well, how do we do that? How do we love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength? Well, the heart, those are our emotions. What we do is check our emotions by the word of God, by his commandments. We walk by the Spirit of God and not our emotions.
That's right.
This is how you love the Lord thy God with your heart. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh.
Amen.
Our emotions are part of our flesh, right. Our desires of the flesh. So we want to check that. I'm not saying don't have emotions. We have emotions. We're human beings, but we got to check them at the door. We got to check them against the word of God, against the commandments of God.
Amen.
And what we can't handle, we give it to the Lord.
Amen.
Cast your cares up on Jesus, for he cares for us. You feeling the way you're not supposed to be feeling? I'm talking about emotions. Lord, talk to him. I feel this, but your word says this.
Amen.
That's where that power comes in, the spirit of power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The soul, that's our wanter. Our wanter. We love the Lord thy God with our soul by checking what we want against his word.
Amen.
We cling to what is good and abhor what which is evil. That's Romans 12:9.
Yeah.
That takes being in his word, being around his people, being in the house of God, hearing his commandments.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And our mind, that's our intellect, our thinker. Purpose to think godly and wholesome thoughts. Finding my brother in Philippians 4:8. We can control our mind. Get that stuff out of our mind that is not what Philippians 4:8 says. Finding, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise. Think on these things. Dwell on these things.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
How does the believer receive and operate in the spirit of love? Hallelujah. We bless one another. We bless one another in word.
Mm-hmm.
Speak well of each other.
Amen.
And to one another.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you were doing.
Amen.
Keep doing it. Keep building up one another.
Amen.
Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds.
Amen.
Encourage one another to do right.
Amen.
Don't encourage, you know, Christians, I've never seen a day so much where Christians encouraging other Christians to do stuff that ain't right. What kind of sense does that make? From the pulpit. I won't go there. I won't go there. I just pray that. Thank you, Lord. But encourage. Hebrews 3:13. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sinning. Encourage one another Amen. Today. Let's do it today.
Amen.
Don't speak against one another. We hear Amen. That a brother is falling in. Don't speak against that brother.
Amen.
We don't do that. We encourage them. Remember I told you earlier, I think I said it twice, some people need prayer.
Amen.
We need to pray for one Amen. Another. Okay, then we bless one another indeed. Give to everyone who asks of you. Whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Now this is the word. Sheila, Pastor Giles is not doing this. This is Jesus.
Amen.
Luke 6:30. Treat others the same way. 6:31. Same way you want them to treat you.
Amen.
We're talking about blessing one another in word and now in deed. Love those. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them.
All right.
If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners can do that. Simply put, he says, love your enemies.
Amen.
Love, he said, but love your enemies and do good and lend. This is Luke 6:35. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great.
Amen.
And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. God is kind. It says
Amen.
Here that God is kind to ungrateful and
Amen.
Evil men. So he's saying love your enemies and expecting nothing in return. Do good and lend. Expect nothing in return and your reward will be great. Your reward from the Father
Amen.
Will be great. Let's forgive one another. He said if you don't forgive, the Heavenly Father won't forgive us.
Amen.
Yeah. That's in Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Receive the love from God. God started love.
Amen.
1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Is that right? Because he first loved us. We wouldn't even know what love looked like.
Amen.
If God had not shown his love.
Amen.
Wow. God's love for us is manifested when we think about Calvary's cross.
Amen.
He could have just let us all bust hell wide open. But his love couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. Man didn't get it right. All he asked man to do was sacrifice a lamb. A perfect lamb, something that wasn't blemished, that wasn't broken. But man couldn't even get that right. So he had to send himself a perfect lamb, no blemishes, to forgive us of our sins. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has our best interest in mind. Mm-hmm. We don't need to have the mindset that God is punishing us. God could never forgive us. This is all having the mindset, the mental disposition of love.
Yeah.
Some people have the mindset that they can't do anything right, that God is not thinking about them, that God has forgotten about them. Well, I'm going to blow that up this morning.
Amen.
Right.
We're going to dissipate those thoughts.
Amen.
God has our best interest in mind.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 29:11, for we all know so well, he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. To give us a future and a hope.
Amen.
We are the apple of God's eye.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
In Zechariah 2:8, he says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you." I told you, you got to pray for some people, because some people have done some things that they shouldn't have done. "For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." And this is what he said about his people. We are his people.
Amen.
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 God will contend with those who contend with his children. In Isaiah 49:25. "Surely, thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. For I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your sons." God is with us.
Amen. Praise God.
We must receive. I talked about receiving. I talked about showing love to our brethren. First of all, loving God and loving one another. Most importantly, we have to receive the love of God.
Amen.
We must have the mindset, the mental disposition that God loves us, that we are the apple of his eye,
Amen.
That he has a plan for us, and it's a good plan that we will succeed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we abide in the love of God, his love is made perfect in us. And it's by his Spirit. It all boils down to Holy Spirit. That's just
Amen.
The bottom line. I just wanted to unpack
Amen.
These things, you know, that we can have to put it all together.
Amen.
He makes it possible for us to love. He makes it possible for us to walk in the Spirit. Excuse me, the Spirit of love.
Amen.
Amen.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of love.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus the Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Praise God.
Amen.